Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your entrepreneurial peers on the journey of self-leadership mastery and life success. Reinvent or evolve yourself as you redesign your business. Dual innovation. Take charge of who you next become. Feel more deeply to think, act, lead, and mentor more clearly and more effectively. Learn something new from our conversation today.
Yeah, this was really a unique experience for me, Nancy. I mean, as you pointed out, I've been interviewed on radio podcasts many times, and this was a unique experience because we really delved into the entrepreneurial process and the challenges. You know, something that you and I talked about today that some listening entrepreneur could hear that would lead them maybe to avoid certain pitfalls, make the right decisions. You did a really great job. And yeah, so thank you.
Welcome, everybody. We're into 2020. Hope it's going great for you. Welcome to We Mentor Mondays. I'm Nancy, and I am glad that we're here and into the year. We're getting some work done. Today in the studio, I'm having a second conversation with Sally Doyle. She's my longtime podcast sponsor, and she's re-upped to go into 2020 together. Thanks, Sally.
You're welcome.
I love promoting you. So as everybody knows, that Sally Doyle is a profit strategist, bookkeeper, innovative thinker, and owner at Absolute Business Solutions, LLC, the company she founded in 2017. You're now 3 years old. What does it feel like?
Feels like time went by quickly.
Kind of like raising three kids.
Yes. What just happened?
Yeah. That's right. And your daughters joined you in the business?
One of my daughters, yes.
Wow, that's fantastic. How's
yes,
that been going?
Very well. Happy to have her on board.
Yeah.
Part of my vision.
So that's a quick time in which you've been profitable enough to bring on another person. How quickly did you start paying yourself when you started your business?
Well, it's actually interesting you bring that up because I have always considered myself a profit strategist. However, there's also someone by the name of Mike Michalowicz who wrote the book Profit First. And I really espouse to his ideas because he talks about the first, there's the old GAAP, generally accepted accounting principles, where sales minus expenses equal profit.
Yes.
That basic formula. And Mike has flipped that around a little bit, and he speaks to doing sales minus profits equals expenses. So it's all about paying yourself first.
And, oh, I see.
Yes.
So instead of the profits, you pay yourself.
Yes. And it's fundamentally based on the idea that, Parkinson's law, which has nothing to do with Parkinson's disease, but where if, and I don't know that I don't have the exact wording of that law, but basically, Mike Michalowicz likes to say oftentimes, if you have a tube of toothpaste, anyone pretty much can relate to the idea that if you have a full tube of toothpaste, you're going to just glob it on and brush your teeth.
Oh, that's so true. Yeah.
Yes. But if you find yourself with an empty tube, we all become very resourceful in getting out the last little bit of toothpaste so that we can get our teeth brushed. Right.
So instead of globbing on, you're like dabbing.
Exactly.
As little as possible. How little can I put on here to get my teeth clean?
Exactly. And you're just squeezing that. You're going to get toothpaste out of that tube no matter what happens.
Yeah.
And so the idea behind the profit first method is that we all need money, and especially small business owners, to live our daily lives. We have bills to pay. Mm-hmm. So you pay yourself first, and then you make business decisions with the money that's left. So if, for example,
what if you're not going to get a bill paid because you paid yourself?
Well, you're probably paying yourself too much. Or maybe at that point, you need to look at some other resources. For example, where are you living currently? Is your house too big? Do you have a $4,000 mortgage? Do you need that house? That gets into personal finances, right? So maybe you needed to look at a few things before you even got started.
Okay.
You know, did you start off, for example, if you want to be a small business owner and you have a full-time job, you might be doing it on nights and weekends to begin with before you actually turn off the flow of the regular income from your job.
Yeah.
Or you're going to get a business loan.
Yeah.
But if a business loan is limited, right? It's not an unlimited amount of money.
Well, and you have to pay it back as soon as you take it out.
Yes, absolutely.
Which doesn't always totally address the cash flow issue.
No, it doesn't.
Or the gap.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so you have, that I would almost say is another subject.
Yeah.
But if you're actually in business and you're making money, you're making decent amount of money, Mike Michalowicz's example in his book speaks to the fact that he had an office space. So he paid himself first. He had an office space that maybe was $1,000 a month.
Okay.
But when he paid himself first and looked at that, he realized he didn't have enough money for $1,000 a month.
Okay.
So then he made arrangements to find a smaller office space for much less money that would fit within his budget that he had for expenses.
I see. So if
so you're kind of squeezing that toothpaste tube.
Right, right. So if you're paying yourself first, it's putting yourself first.
Exactly.
And so you're thinking about your money first.
Yes.
And you're not thinking about when am I going to get paid? You're and then you make your decisions based on if I'm not able to pay myself enough, then what do I need to be doing differently?
Right. And if you pay yourself last, you're going to be stressed out because you—
Right. Will I have enough to even pay myself?
Yes.
Right.
And you have a mortgage payment or rent and you want to eat and maybe you have kids and you're trying to get them to, you know, sign up for activities. Well, if you think of it the other way around, you can apply this theory actually to your own household finances.
Yeah.
On a kind of another level. Mm-hmm. But in terms of business— You take care of your needs so that you can make better business decisions with what's remaining.
Yeah.
And it kind of reminds me back even in child care when you're raising your children, it's really important to take care of yourself first.
Yeah, the oxygen mask first.
Yeah, exactly.
Like when you're flying.
Exactly.
Yeah, if you're going down.
Because if you're not feeling good and strong and healthy, then you can't turn around and care for that your children.
Yeah.
And it would be the same in your business.
Yeah.
If you're stressed out and you go into a business meeting, you're not 100% present because you're feeling all this anxiety and fear and maybe anger.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't come and you aren't present in your meetings with your clients.
Yeah.
And also you tend to undersell yourself as well because you're so desperate to close on a sale.
Yeah.
As opposed to coming into it strong.
Yeah, that's so true. Now, I have a question. When you see people's finances really close up and how they're making decisions about their finances, how does it shift your perspective about your own finances?
Well, I think it's more seeing that in general, a lot of people are just trying to get by or just trying to make it. They might be doing more or less better. It depends on, you know, maybe where their money blocks are, as we spoke of in our
first conversation. Yes. Yeah.
But I think that there's just a wide array of what a situation can look like.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. It's mostly like broadens your awareness.
It's broadened your awareness that there's more than one way to look at
absolutely
your money life.
Yes. Because as a numbers person,
yeah.
I mean, I was initially quite concrete. 1 + 1 = 2. There's nothing to talk about here.
Yeah, you're either making, a net profit or not.
Right.
Yeah. Well, what shifted that?
Actually, my experience, because also as a numbers person, I'm quite loyal. But that's not really what the cards that life dealt me. So I ended up working for, I would have normally, in theory, been hired by a company and worked my entire life for that company. That's how loyal I am.
Yeah.
But that is not how it panned out. So I ended up having multiple different experiences, but those experiences allowed me to grow because I could see that not every business is run the same. Not every business owner, everybody's trying to make a profit.
Yeah.
But what they think is important in getting to that goal.
So you see their values in their money?
Yes.
What's important to them?
Yes.
Yeah.
And every business owner is different.
Okay. And how they spend their money and
how they spend it, where they spend it, how important they think employees are, how important they think outside vendors are. They're all different.
Yeah. And the industry and how far you can go with money that mm-hmm. you have.
Yes.
Because some people are just, like I'm really amazed at how they can stretch a dollar.
Yes.
You know, it's like the tube of toothpaste.
Yes.
Like if you took a test of everybody gets a tube of toothpaste on January 1 of 2020, you know, how long will it last everybody?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
You know, and it's going to be different for every person.
Yes.
But there will be probably a majority, you know, somewhere.
Right. Right.
That'll end up in this, you know, running out around the same time. But I see that with money.
Yes.
And how clients, you know, can...
That is true.
Yeah, because a lot of people share revenue goals with me. I mean, and what they're doing with their money.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm not in their books like
yes.
you are.
Yeah.
Well, they could be, you know, telling me a whole bunch of different lines, but I happen to work with people who are, you know, like you, have integrity and are being upfront with me about it.
Yes.
Yeah. So the BS factor is very, very low. Oh, all right. So, that's so interesting. So you also had some changes in your marital status that led you to look at your career differently.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, what I would say about that is that over the years, I realized I didn't have the support to go to do the things that I desire to do in life. And so ultimately, I knew that if I wanted to have my own business, I was being sabotaged on a regular basis. And so in order to—
So it's one thing that if you're sabotaging yourself—
Yes.
But if someone's joined the bandwagon—
Yes, yes.
Right, and piled on—
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, then life becomes unbearable.
Right.
Okay.
And so I knew that I had to separate from that situation in order to reach the goals that I had for myself.
Good for you. So you asserted yourself in a huge way.
Yes.
You also gave opportunities to grow differently in relationship, but you got to have partners that work with you.
Yes.
And it's similar in when you're working with business owners.
Yes.
You know, they have to be, yeah, you know, have a dynamic of you want to work together with them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like if you want a happy life, you need happy people around you because it expands the energy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even if you're going through a hard time, if someone has more of a positive outlook and is looking to use the opportunity as a growth opportunity and really go through the process and really grow from it, it's amazing what you can accomplish together.
Yes, that is very true. And I would say that, which you may or may not know, but I made that separation with family members as well. Because
as I grew,
family members didn't like that, and you know, the passive aggressivity that would came out of that. And at some point I had to nip it in the bud.
Yeah.
If you don't want to grow with me, then and a lot of people would not do that. I understand that.
Yeah.
But I had to cut family members out for the exact same reason.
Yeah.
Because I'm moving forward.
Yeah.
And if you're a dead weight, I mean, that's unfortunate, but
what you're saying, if I'm understanding you correctly, I'm relating to this because it's like almost a power and control issue.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is true for you, but when in families you have the power and control amongst the parents is so controlling, and it's disparaging. And so everybody kind of figures out where they are in the family system.
Mm-hmm.
And if you try to change the system in any particular way, people, it's the clan mentality.
Yes.
Like it's the, if you can't do things the way we've always done them, then you're not part of this clan anymore.
Yes.
So then you have to, in order for you to survive and your soul to soar, you're left with no other option.
Exactly.
Is that what
your
experience was?
Yeah, I think that's a great analogy and very much, basically when I decided to divorce,
yeah,
no one liked that. I was upsetting the clan.
Yeah, because probably no one got a divorce in your family. Is that
well? Actually, no, I'm not the first to divorce. So, but I sure got the burden of that. I can't explain that.
Okay,
but maybe because nobody knew what I was thinking, or what all along. Because it wasn't like as if for them from the outside, I was flipping a switch, me, it had been building for years and years and years.
Okay. And had you been sharing some of that with your siblings or?
Some of them.
Okay.
Yeah, some of
them. So some knew?
Some knew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How are you at now? Because it's been a number of years since, how many years has it been?
I'm thinking about that, about 4 years now.
Okay. Oh, not that long yet.
No.
Okay. So are relationships like coming back or?
Some. And some not.
Okay.
Because some people are just still where they were 4 years ago, and I'm further away from there.
Yeah. Okay. All right. It's about respecting people.
Yes.
But if there's a power, if there's a clan mentality going on in a person's family, the only way to survive, if you're on a growth path, is to get out.
Yes.
Yeah. Otherwise, you succumb to being robotic. I mean, it's really
Absolutely.
Not healthy for our minds.
No, it's not
healthy. And our spirits. Yeah.
And they're welcome to come along and grow with me.
Right.
But if they can't get past that place, then it's not going to happen.
And that's too, unconditional love is kind of wrapped in that little bow there.
Yeah.
and so it's like, okay, I didn't know that my life had so many conditions on it.
Yes.
Yeah. But, well, good for you. And there's a lot of people who are breaking out of those kind of environments to create a path in which we can all flourish.
Yes.
Because that's where the society and the world is going. It's a higher frequency.
Absolutely.
If we are studying energy.
Yes, yes.
There's a higher frequency that we're all trying to achieve.
Yes.
And we need to be doing it together. And there needs to be a lot of us.
Yes.
Doing this work. So good for you for elevating yourself and moving toward that. Well, thanks for sharing that too. It's a conversation, but it takes some courage to put it out there. Yes. And who knows with relationships,
right.
When we let people go free, take care of our hearts, other things happen.
Yes,
yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. So relationships can come back in a different way.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yes.
Yeah. So we've talked about the value of bookkeepers, and especially in working with you, I'm kind of leaping now to the next subject.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We kind of always, integrate getting to know you along with the expertise that you have built up over a number of years. And what led you to this were the trajectory of your life was you really asserted self-leadership in a way that really launched you into like a new path of possibilities and an adventure. And some of it's not easy, but you're exploring it and you're figuring it out.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm just so jazzed about that for you. So tell us a little bit more about where people kind of get caught up with cookbooks, QuickBooks, who are using, I mean, they're not cooking the books, but QuickBooks helps people to, take control of their financial life, automating it. And people have been using QuickBooks for, I was in business in 92, and I think the software came out probably, in the 80s? Late 80s, whenever we started using computers, but they have fared really well over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And so they started out with personal software that people bought to keep track of their own, instead of bringing the big box of receipts to the accountant and bookkeepers to keep track of your personal finances, that, people started buying a software to help automate it.
Yes.
And then QuickBooks expanded, I think it was in the late, mid 80s, into business.
Mm-hmm.
And have built a great following with small business.
Yes.
So what made you decide to get certified in that area?
Well,
or
I think
with
that
company.
Right. Well, because simply for the reason you're describing, it's clearly the most used financial software out there.
Yeah.
There are other financial software available, and some of them are very good.
Yeah.
But QuickBooks is the one that people know and recognize for the most part.
And it's also called Intuit?
Yes.
Intuit.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How can we get more out of QuickBooks?
I think that if you are choosing to know QuickBooks yourself and use QuickBooks yourself, either regardless of whether you're hiring a bookkeeper, you probably should get some formal training. And that exists. There's people who will come to your office and train you. They will do it online, of course, but get some training. You can ask any bookkeeper and they'll tell you about the messes they've cleaned up. And it's because most business owners are not financial experts. They don't even understand the language.
Yeah.
And so they don't understand what they're doing when they enter a transaction into QuickBooks. And it's unfortunate. It's not everyone, but it's true that most often we're cleaning up messes.
Yeah, because we learn enough to be dangerous.
Exactly. Yeah. No, but it's true.
Yeah.
It's very true.
Okay.
So that would be, so you have two choices. Either you get some training. Doesn't have to be hardcore, but get some basic training so you know what you're supposed to be doing in QuickBooks, or just stay out of them and hire a professional.
Okay. I see business owners needing to be on top. So they have to ask for the reports.
Yes.
So they need to understand that income statements are important.
Right.
You have to know whether you're making a profit or you're not.
Right.
And then you need a cash flow statements.
Yeah.
So you need to know how much, you know, money do we have at the start of 2020 here and how much is going out and when. So there's several different things that people need to, as a business owner, to direct or keep on top of with the business owner.
Yes.
So let's say it's a $200,000 company.
Mm-hmm.
What do they need to keep track of? Like four reports that you're putting out every day.
Well, one of the biggest issues are receipts.
Yeah.
And even in today where everything's electronic, the IRS still likes receipts. And they're very important in case you are ever to be audited. Two parts to that would be, yes, we can scan them. Yes, we can snap pictures of them. At the end of the day, it's whatever you will do.
Oh, so, I see. On a consistent basis.
What works for you as a business owner?
Yeah, because if you take a picture of your receipt, then are you going to do the next step?
Right. But very true. And for example, QuickBooks has an app that allows you to snap a picture, and then it goes right into QuickBooks. You add in a couple things like the date and what it was for, and it'll automatically go to your QuickBooks.
What version of QuickBooks
does that's QuickBooks Online. And
okay.
I don't use desktop anymore.
Okay.
There are people who do, and there are bookkeepers who do.
So why would you encourage a business owner to go into the cloud with QuickBooks?
Because it's the 21st century.
Oh, ouch! Oh, that's harsh! All right, carry on.
No, I know. I understand. It's been a difficult... people who are on desktop, I used to be on desktop.
I'm still on desktop.
And I understand that 100%.
Okay, so I can be convinced in 2020. So Mike's mobile, okay, I got to get with the 2020 times.
Yes.
But I can do that this year.
So, but at the end of the day, it's whatever you will... what actually works.
Yeah.
And so we can tell somebody all day long to snap pictures, but if they can't change their behavior, then we have to find out what will they do.
Okay. So first decide for yourself what behaviors, well, maybe meeting with the bookkeeper to see what could we be doing better this year to track things.
And the thing is that another thing that business owners tend not to, you know, these are things I hear all the time within the bookkeeping community.
Yeah.
If people show up with shoeboxes full of receipts.
Still.
And then they kind of dump them on the bookkeeper. Well, it actually takes time. It's not just about it being transactional, but there's certainly that piece. But it takes quite a bit of time And if you're not taking care of the work, okay, it's January. Start today. Draw a line in the sand and keep those receipts. You can forward them via email. You can throw them in an envelope. You know, I'm always a little, don't love the envelope idea because if it were to disappear in the mail, you no longer have that. So snap pictures. There's, or at, you know, some instances, if you have a local bookkeeper, maybe she can, she or he can pick up the receipts. But I would definitely recommend going electronic. And then, but start today. Because if you don't get around to this until September, paying for it doesn't go away.
Right.
Their catch-up work is, it's
no
almost,
fun for everybody.
Well, you're going to be charged more.
Yeah.
Because now everyone's under the gun.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah. And it's always then under pressure.
Under pressure.
You know, short deadlines.
Yes.
Don't allow for, you know, the time it takes.
Exactly.
To sort do the work.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
So that definitely is number one to me because I hear it all the time.
Yeah.
And it's.
So even though it's gotten a lot easier.
Yes.
Yeah. People are still sloppy.
Yes. But then that's the number one thing if you're ever audited. The more documentation is your friend with an auditor.
Yeah. And if you're using like your credit card for both personal and business.
No, you're not.
Just don't do it.
Yeah,
that's
just
what Sally's saying. You heard it here.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll hear it in anybody who's telling you the truth about starting a business.
Yeah.
It's imperative to keep your personal and business separate.
Yeah.
And also, I know you hear it all the time. People may do that, mix it up.
Well, when I'm working with people, with business owners, is the psychological part.
Yes.
That, you know, you need to create the boundaries.
Yes.
Physically and psychologically between yourself and your business, that
yes.
It is a separate entity.
Yes.
You are not your business. And the more things that you have intermingled in that way, you become more enmeshed psychologically, and it's not healthy.
Right.
And that's my take.
Yes,
on
I agree.
That I okay. And we're in agreement.
But that would be true even with a home office.
Yeah.
Really having being able to divide, you know, separate the two.
Yeah.
And that when you go into that office, you're a business owner.
Yeah.
And so no, your child shouldn't be knocking on the door. I know people are more flexible these days, but they're if you're in a business meeting, somebody shouldn't be pounding on the door because they need you.
Yeah.
In that moment.
Yeah. So setting up clear communication
with
people, mm-hmm. with the boundaries, because a lot of times, you know, there's so much lack of communication.
Mm-hmm.
Like people are not clear about the boundaries that they need to set in
yes.
how they're working.
Yes.
That sounds good. Okay. What else have you got for us?
Well, you just said it, you know, communication.
Yeah.
And a bookkeeper, for example, is only as good as the information that they're provided by the business owner. And that
what information should they be providing?
Well, if they have a credit, all their statements. So any statement.
So do a monthly statement, weekly? What are you talking
about? Usually monthly bank statements, monthly credit card statements, uploading them or getting them to the bookkeeper in a timely manner. It's a waste of everyone's time if they have to track you down and, you know, ask 4 or 5 times for information that they need to get their job done.
So do you set a timeline then with business owners about what statements you expect
yes.
to be coming to you when?
Yes.
And okay.
you learn each business owner is different.
Yeah.
Just like how they handle money. You set up maybe reminders. Send out email reminders, things like that to help them, others. It just, each one is so individual.
Yeah. So if you have a bookkeeper outside of your office, which a lot, you know, most small business owners do,
mm-hmm.
you know, it takes some organizational skills
yeah.
to set up the process.
Yeah.
And also I see like, you know, people have the expectation of, you know, when they're starting something new, they forget the human part.
Yes.
You know, like, hey, we're just learning,
yes.
right, together.
Yes.
And so let's try this out. this way.
Yes.
For a few months, and then let's revisit. You know, does this way I'm sending you the receipts work?
Right.
And what am I seeing about my pattern of being on time or lack thereof?
Yes.
Or how much time do I need to factor in my schedule at the end of each month to just take care of these things? Because people don't schedule some of these activities in.
Correct.
What they do is they just figure, I'll get to it. I just need the, you know, I have to be out there generating income. So all my, you know, focus is on that and doing the work of generating income. And so I just figure, you know, outside of that, I'll have time.
Yes.
But it's like getting a hair appointment, right? You have to factor it in. You have to set it up. And just like at the dentist's office, you know, they want you to book out 6 months or the haircut, you know, 6-7 weeks or several months, whatever, or 5 weeks or 4 or 3, you know, but scheduling ahead.
Yes.
Same thing should be done with bookkeeping.
Absolutely.
I used to be the worst in scheduling hair appointments because I just wouldn't plan ahead. Now it's like I schedule like 2 hair appointments out of advance just because my hairstylist, Stephen, is, you know, busy and traveling and he likes to have that. And I do too on the calendar. And if something comes up, we're far enough planned out. But it took a while for me to get into the frame of thinking.
Yes.
Which I was in that frame before I were, you know, met with him a long time ago. But I just know how hard some of these activities are to schedule because we feel like we have so many responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't want the pressure of like committing to one more thing with our books.
Right. But very important.
But
you know,
it is
important.
Critical. This is critical, the same as writing the check to yourself first, paying yourself first.
Yes.
Means scheduling the work that needs to be done around money first.
Yes.
It's like, because you know, people are quick on invoicing.
Yes.
Right? And getting the money, you know, it's like you got a system in place to get the money in place and in the bank. There's these other pieces that are involved in doing that kind of work.
Right.
Scheduling and working well with a bookkeeper.
Right.
Yeah.
And blocking time.
Okay.
For your work in general, just in general.
Yeah.
It's good practice if you want to have an efficient business and it just works really well to have time blocks so that you know when you're doing things. And one of those things is your finances.
Yeah. So is there a certain gross revenue number that business owners should hit, you know, when they should have, like, let's say they want to handle their own bookkeeping for as long as they can?
Okay. Well, that would vary from business to business.
Okay.
Definitely,
I know I've had a bookkeeper all the time because I'm terrible with keeping track of that stuff. I am so, like people say, God, you're organized. I'm like, it's very, very specific in certain areas.
Right.
It's not, I'm kind of an organized thinker in how I plan things out, but there's certain, I mean, you know, I can't be organized in every little process and part of my life. You know, I got to add in a lot of those other things.
Right.
It's just,
but the idea that you recognize right away that was an area you were not going to eat.
I was terrible at.
Right.
Yeah. And yeah, so, and I got really good advice when I started out my business. It didn't matter the revenue for me.
Mm-hmm.
It mattered, like, if that job is going to get done, it cannot be done by me. I've got so many other things that I need to work on to even generate income.
Yes.
That I will be out of business quickly if I don't have somebody else helping me with it.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So that's been a good philosophy for me. But let's say somebody's good at the books. When would you suggest that they get a bookkeeper?
Well, I think that ultimately it would be, it's still very difficult to say that in kind of
a generic
way, yes, because everyone's different. But if they're spending their time, you know, you want to look at how much time you're spending on the books in comparison to how much time you're spending doing the things you enjoy about your business. Most business owners had some great passionate idea that launched them into starting their own business, right?
Yeah.
And so if you find that you're spending time that maybe you should be with your family, time that you know, you have to find that balance. And again, you'd be looking at how much money's coming in. And why I say it varies, some businesses have very little in terms of expenses,
yeah,
and overhead.
Yeah.
And other people have tons of overhead in order to accomplish what they want. And so it all kind of, so in that regard, it depends. But if.
Well, and it seems like the more money you make, the more time you have to work on the books.
Right. But then I think you need to look at getting a professional.
Yeah. But I mean, even if you have a professional, the more money you make, it just seems like the more time you are in planning.
Oh, sure.
In cash flowing, you're purchasing more things.
Right, right. But I think at the end of the day, you have a vision of where you're going.
Yeah.
And while that might, it might change and it might look different, you shouldn't be mostly in the money place.
Okay. So how many hours do you think somebody is like an average who is in the books? Right. I mean, not bookkeeping, but
right,
just like keeping track of the money or.
Well, somebody just how much time should they spend?
Yeah, around that. Like, is there a ballpark figure like between 5 to 10 hours or 3 to 5?
No, I don't think.
Two to three?
Right. I would say, I think get a recap once a week. Have an idea what's going on. It would depend on your industry.
Yeah.
But I don't think you should be in there spending too much time there. You should be out creating the...
Generating income.
Generating income, yes.
Okay, and doing the work for it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, that's good to know. What are a couple of other tips with QuickBooks? And you and I talked about you coming back on a kind of a semi-regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are lots of things. And if people know that you're coming back in, they can like, you know, here's some bookkeeping questions that I have.
Sure.
And if they want to send that to me,
sure.
If they want quick answers, they can go to you. But if they would like some things put into a show of questions and topics, I want them to go to Nancy@wementor.com and let me know. Or
okay.
Yeah. So what are a couple of other tips we can give them before we finish out our conversation today?
I would think that if you aren't using QuickBooks already, do your research. So many people get in and they want to pull the trigger, maybe in various ways. So either they buy a program that's more than they need. If they're thinking they're going to get a bookkeeper, bookkeepers usually can get their programs at wholesale prices. But once they pull the trigger and they sign up for a program, even on a trial basis, they will have to pay full price for that program. There's no wholesaling it thereafter.
Okay.
So
is part of the work that you might be doing with somebody, you know, for your profit analysis that you would do with them for $149, that you could also help them pick the right and get the
set
up?
Oh,
their business right if we've got people who are emerging.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
With new entities.
Yes.
Okay.
And so I think that's the main thing. Do your homework. And that would include, I mean, my goodness, there's a ton of YouTube videos if you need to learn some things, if you don't feel like you can afford, you know, training right out the chute. But I, just like a business coach, they're important pieces of growing a business. And a lot of times we are hesitant to spend money on the pieces that are the most important. And
yeah,
they have a lot more value than, so training in the QuickBooks, coaching, those are things that are worthwhile to spend money on.
Okay. And for the established business owners who have a lot of growth goals for this year, how best can they utilize QuickBooks?
By getting a bookkeeper. By getting a bookkeeper. And I'm just saying that because...
No, let's say they have one already.
Okay, if they already have a bookkeeper.
They've been working with one.
All right. Then I would think that in that case, make sure that they're sitting down with them. You know, block time.
Like weekly?
So if you're... No, I'd say monthly or quarterly. Quarterly would be a very small business.
Okay.
So probably like for example, your $200,000 a year example or thereabouts.
Yeah.
As they grow... Yeah, they should be meeting monthly and going over the reports,
okay,
asking any questions. Sometimes a business owner can spot something that a bookkeeper might not because they may not have been provided the information
yeah
to categorize something properly. Mm-hmm. And it's by looking at those reports, things stick out like a sore thumb.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, something's not right here. And so sometimes it's not having, you know, spent money maybe the most wisely, and other times it's because it's just not in the right category.
Yeah.
But
the categories are a big thing. And
absolutely.
If you're in a growth-oriented business and you add another revenue stream,
yes.
That takes just a couple that's not
right.
hard, but
it's
it takes some conversations. Yeah. And I think getting the numbers right and categories right in
absolutely.
The beginning, but that's probably what you do too if somebody hasn't had a bookkeeper in and they've created their own, which
yes.
is fine. But a bookkeeper would have another insight into those categories
absolutely.
That might change that. And balance sheets give the assets and the liabilities of a company, the health
yes.
behind the company. That's how you read them. Those monthly, quarterly?
Monthly. Well, again, it depends on the size of the business.
Okay.
So.
What's the revenue line between when you hire a bookkeeper internally? Like, where would you let go of a client because they need somebody beyond your amount of time that you can spend with them?
Well, ideally, I don't have a revenue number for you on that. And in fact, I think it's possible to have a bookkeeper even when you grow quite big into millions of dollars. There are bookkeepers to do it for companies that do $50 million. I actually, through my experience, would tell you that you're better off having a bookkeeper that is external, because an external bookkeeper isn't emotionally tied to the business.
That's really good advice. Yeah.
Because, when you're an internal bookkeeper,
meshed in the culture.
You're meshed in the culture. I always saw what everyone made. And when you're outside of that, doesn't make any difference what anyone makes, because that belongs to the company and
yeah.
and their culture and what their how they have structured their company. So that's just been my experience. It's just one perspective, but I think by having an external bookkeeper, it's a non-biased individual
mm-hmm.
looking out for your financial best interest.
Terrific. On that note, thank you for another delightful conversation.
Thank you for having me.
I love talking the books and your life, and your perspective on forward thinking is really energizing to me.
Oh,
it makes me kind of excited about my own numbers and books and want to work better with my bookkeeper. Thank you for that. And listeners, you know, you will never hurt your business by having a second opinion. And Sally Doyle is the best to get a second opinion by. So, you know, get a profit analysis and get her insights into your books, especially if you live in the Twin Cities area of Minnesota. But you could talk with her over the phone too and see how you might work that out as well, because it's so virtual. There's a lot you can work out virtually. Okay. And then also let me know, share this episode, all episodes on Twitter, we're on Facebook, LinkedIn, in your other feeds. You can go ahead and share this podcast conversation on iTunes and what have you, or write a review. I could use that this year. I realized I haven't really been promoting that or even asking people for reviews. But please offer in a review. I love the help in that area and want to expand beyond 50,000 downloads to keep listeners, expanding my audience. And thanks for tuning in. We'll see everybody next week. Thanks, Mike Cabea, sound engineer, videographer, photographer, mon frère. Brother from another mother. We'll see you next week when we delve back into your body and inflammation. Do you want to build upon your leadership skills and become more effective as a business owner? Do you want to reinvent yourself or evolve as you redesign your business? This is a dual innovation process. Are you ready to take charge of who you next become? If the answer is yes, I've been developing and implementing mentoring programs to thousands of emerging to experienced entrepreneurial leaders and business owners and their teams since 1992. I totally love it and feel I'm on this planet to involve the leadership in the world from the inside out. Of course, this means seeing myself as a work in progress, which is beneficial to you because I'm not stagnant and I'm motivated to create and bring you incredible programming all the time. So here's a few ways that you can get involved in our We Mentor Self-Leadership community. You can subscribe for free through wementor.com to the podcast. You can also find it on Apple Podcasts, which used to be iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, Blueberry Directory, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio, which is where you can shout out your request on smart home device through Alexa, Cortana, Amazon Echo, and Google Home. You can also become a sponsor of this program and support what's happening here in these all these meaningful conversations. Or you can get one-on-one mentoring and go at your own pace as you evolve into the leader that you've always wanted to become. You can join a We Mentor Mini Lab, which we offer several times during the year. We're focused on some element of self-leadership and your progress toward becoming more effective. And the last and final way in which you can get involved in We Mentor's self-leadership community is by joining a one-year entrepreneurial leadership and mentoring lab where we dig into the details and help you with the operational along with your leadership skills so you can evolve with your entity and really, really progress in building the life that you've always wanted to build. So please check out wementor.com. You can email me, Nancy at wementor.com, or call me, 1-612-804-8920. All right, keep listening, and we'll see you next week.